This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Talking about chicken a la king, mango and garbanzo, tabbouleh, potatoes and vegetables with roasted garlic and basil,
zucchini ziti,
granola, fruit bar.
Look at all this beautiful food.
Welcome to Green Eggs and Dan, where I interview amazing people with amazing minds, but all I care about is what is in their fridge. My guest today is a quadruple threat. Comedian, writer, actor, podcaster. She played Carla Walton on Silicon Valley, currently plays Darcy Bloom on Sci-Fi's Resident Alien, and she hosts Treks in the City podcast and her own podcast, which you can find both at Patreon, because you got to make that money, patreon.com/AliceWetterland. Please welcome Alice Wetterland, everybody.
Yay! Thanks for having me, Dan.
Of course. You're doing so many things. I got to say, the funniest thing about researching what to put in your intro, when you Google yourself, it says American solo comedian.
That's awesome.
It sounds so... like a, I don't know, like a Japanese game show way of introducing you.
Yeah, it feels so true to who I am and how I see myself. You know, just going it alone as opposed to all the other comedians who are in packs.
No, you're an American solo comedian. All right, we are going to get to your fridge right now, which you guys can see Alice Wetterland's American solo comedian fridge on my Instagram at StandUpDan. Okay. It's an interesting fridge. It's weird in a couple of ways. Number one, it's weirdly clean. It's very clean. Like, the surfaces look like they haven't been... This feels to me like you were like, oh my God, I'm going to be on a fridge podcast. I need to buy a fridge. I've never owned a fridge. And I need to stuff it as quick as I can.
Look, if I quickly Google fridge, what's a fridge? He wants me out of a fridge. Yeah, so there's a story, if you want it.
I do. That's why we're here.
I was in Canada when we scheduled this podcast, right? Okay. And I could have sent you a photo of my fridge in Canada, which is also new because it's an Airbnb, so it's regularly clean. But I thought, let's do one more representative of my day-to-day, and I'll take one when I get to L.A., as I was preparing to come home, I got a text from my partner who I live with. He goes, our fridge, something's wrong. It's on the fritz. And I get home and it's doing this weird thing where the fridge is like, it was a French door, and it was like the bottom of both the fridge and the freezer was like doing its job. Like, totally normal, stuff's frozen on the bottom, stuff's fridge refrigerated and cold in the bottom of but on the tops of both, it was a different climate entirely. Climate change in the fridge. And like, we couldn't. So I'm like, well, we'll get somebody to look at it. And then I was like, well,
Greta? You got Greta to come in and take a look at it?
I mean, how much does she charge these days? You know what I mean? I'm worried about, you know, transpo costs, because I live way out in the eastern part of LA. So I was like, well, let me see what a new fridge costs, because I'm thinking it's got to be $400, right?
Right.
Well, no. A fridge apparently is a lifetime investment. But our fridge was also too big for this slot. It's in our really weird... We have a really weird house. So I was like, do we get a new fridge? And then I went to this like open box appliance store in El Sereno, and I was like, let me just get this fridge. It felt so empowering to like... And I was just like, I don't want anyone to come to the house, look at the fridge. I just like, boom, new fridge. That's what.
Yeah.
It's like one of those things where it's like you could. So they have taken the old fridge away, and I'm like, can you resell it? Because I think you can fix it. And they're like, we got to scrap it. And I was like, great. I'm basically ruining the environment, which is never something I don't lose sleep over. So, but the long and short of it is that I have this sparkling new fridge. And you guys, if you ever... Like, I highly recommend just not having a fridge for a while and then getting a fridge, because it's, I mean, we're just like so stoked on this fridge.
It makes you appreciate the fridge.
We're just like going in and being like, ooh, look at the fridge. Like, Like, look at this. Look at these ice cubes. I put ice cubes in our trays and I like popped them out and they were so perfect, like glossy. I like brought them to my boyfriend on the couch. I was like, look at how beautiful. And he's like, oh my God. Like, we're just so, so stoked on this fridge.
So, yeah. I think that's a very smart way to practice gratitude. Get rid of the fridge for a while. No one appreciates their fridge. No one wakes up every day and says,
thank the Lord
that I don't have to have an ice box. I literally have this beautiful fridge.
Philosophically, like, I'm very centered in fridge world right now because when you don't have a fridge and you go and you buy a new fridge, like, everybody talks to you about fridges. And then also your phone's listening to you. So my algorithm on TikTok is like fridge related.
And you're on a fridge podcast.
I'm on a fridge podcast. And so I found out that like all of the design of fridges that we have today, and especially like any home appliances for your kitchen, have been like assetified, I guess is what they call it, where now they're silver and like they're usually black, white, or stainless steel. Mm-hmm. Because as men moved into the kitchen, they stopped making like appliances be powder pink and different like cutesy colors. They made them less like, they made them more homogenized. As it became more homogenized, they also became more standardized. So it's like freezer on top, fridge on the bottom for like 60 years. And in the back in the day, they used to have like fridges that you could do above, you know, like cupboard fridges, or this one fridge had like a freezer on top, fridge on the bottom, but in between there was this shelf space that you could pull out. I mean, it's like insane.
That kind of makes sense. Yeah. Why not have that?
Right. And it's because people buy one for their whole lives and they don't need to innovate. You know, it's like you don't.
Right.
People aren't constantly going out and buying fridges. So like, why make fridges special? Because otherwise you wouldn't sell them.
And then if they're too special, it's a little much. Like, they have these see-through ones now that have like LED screens and all this weirdness.
Well, have you seen the Samsung Bespoke? I'm obsessed with it. Like,
tell me. I know nothing about it.
Dog, I was like, because, you know, I was fridge shopping. So I was like,
yeah, you want a deep dive.
And I'm like, what is this gorgeous piece of equipment? It is like, they have panel ready fridges, obviously, and then regular. And then this is sort of in the middle where it's like, it has standardized replaceable panels that you can buy for the different compartments. But there's like a range of colors. You got to Google. Please Google. So go to Samsung. See how it's pink on the top?
Oh my God,
it's
you
gorgeous.
You can change the panels of the door. It's almost like, your fridge is kind of like a Pinterest board. You can
As
move
you
things
renovate,
around.
If you change the colors of your fridge, you just buy. Wow. I mean, it's like, I cannot.
Oh my God, you can put pictures
You can put pictures on there.
Your
you
wedding photos. Like, your panel can be your wedding photo.
Yeah. Yeah,
wow, it is very beautiful.
It's beautiful, and I need one immediately.
How much is this stupid thing?
Not crazy. It's like 20. It's like in between, because you can find a panel ready fridge in the $10,000 range. Like, they'll get up there.
Yeah,
but these are around $2,000.
Wow,
which is not the worst.
It's not the worst. You know, Samsung's very. I have one of those Samsung TVs that looks like a picture frame, but it's not a picture frame. It's kind of, they're very good at making your home things feel exciting and new.
Must be nice. Damn.
Yeah,
must
I am nice. Rich. Anyway, back to your poor person fridge. Actually, it doesn't look like a poor person fridge, but it's a very...
We wanted one that was like, let's buy one that we can resell that's like super standard and normal. And we wanted a small one because our kitchen is stupid.
But why? So you did no research? You just walked into this like... open box place. Well, like, I'm a huge researcher.
I did research.
It sounds like you did.
I did research. So I know what, you know, I know not to buy like a Winthrop.
By the way, Winthrop is our head sponsor.
oh shit, I'm sorry. they're great for certain people who... No, but I just was... I researched a bunch of different places that sell open box appliances. I went to this one place in like... Are you California?
Yeah, I'm in LA. I'm in West Hollywood.
So I go to like this place in North Hollywood that was like... had been recommended by someone. And it is all refurbished. Like, people owned these fridges.
Yeah.
And it's like... This is where Breaking Bad sources. There, like, it was just like, you open each one and it's like, smells okay, but then you put a deep sniff in there and it's like, oh, they couldn't get it totally clean. None of them
right.
could get totally clean. So you're just like, I don't think so. And then I went to a place kind of near my house, and they had one for $700.
Wait, was this actually used delivery. Though, or was it not used?
No, open box. It's just okay, a great. Very standard Whirlpool. Just like, you know, not anywhere near top of the line. No drink dispenser, no ice no ice dispenser. Just like normal.
I do love, though, that while you were researching, you were like, let me see the top of the top of the top of the line. It's like, I want an aspirational fridge.
Yeah. Well, we plan to renovate and we just don't know what we're going to do yet. So I'm like, I don't want to buy a fridge that we're going to like commit to. Because what if we can't fit it?
Here's what's cute about this fridge. Here's what's cute about it. You know how, like, when you get a new car or a new watch or new glasses and you're very careful about it for, like, the first, like, month, and then afterwards you just throw things around, you don't care at all? I love that you have not one, but two Arm & Hammer fridge and freezer clean boxes, one on each row, top row.
I didn't notice that.
And the second row. I mean, it's a brand new fridge. It's not going to smell.
That's a mistake. It's because when we cleaned out our old fridge, we had all the, like, that kind of stuff that's not going to go bad right away on a shelf. And, like, then when we put it back in, sometimes we just sort of like, put that in the fridge. Like, we didn't think, where does this actually go?
Right.
So that's one of them is supposed to be in the freezer, I guess, and it's not in there.
I also think there's... Typically, they're supposed to be just in the back row, like kind of hidden. Yours are both super... front and center. They're the headlining acts. Well,
look how the one on the top is right next to a red onion.
Well, this is the other thing I wanted to say.
It's working super hard. It's like a cyclical, its own little miniature eco zone. What do you call it? Ecology.
You have a red onion cut, open, raw dog, not even bagged. Or
I don't know what that's about.
Not even in any plastic wrap. Just sitting out there, leaning, taunting the Arm & Hammer.
100% it's taunting. The Arm & they're both just like, it's they're at war right now. There's like a war being waged on the top shelf here.
I love that you're so finicky clean that you need these Arm & Hammer. I don't even have one of these Arm & Hammer things. But at the same time... You're so reckless with smells that you just
leave a half cut. It's because it's a new fridge. It won't be like this. Like it's, you know, we do clean our fridge out, but it won't be like this. This is my partner. He's throwing onions, just raw dog out there. And he has his own, you know, when you live with somebody, they have their own philosophy about like what gets bagged, what gets shelved, what doesn't go in the fridge.
Yes.
It's like, I don't understand half the time. So I just let him do. But this, to me, seems wrong. Open red onion?
Open red onion is 100%. I mean, here's the thing. Even if it's going to preserve the onion better, just get another onion. And now your whole place is going to smell like onion. The whole fridge is going to smell like onions.
And it's true. And I just feel like it's like maybe just... So what I would do is if I had onion left and this, I was around when this happened, because what he did was he made chicken salad. See how that feta cheese on the bottom or the second shelf? See how that doesn't look like feta cheese?
It does not.
You're like, ooh.
Yes.
It's chicken salad.
Okay.
Unlabeled chicken salad. That's why there's red onion out like that. So what I would do is if I was around when this was going down, I would take that red onion, chop, 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 pickle it. Quick pickle.
Wow.
Put it in a jar, quick pickle. That way, you got your red onion ready to go on whatever you fucking need red onion for.
Wow.
But it's not stinking up the whole fridge. And I might go do that immediately.
I will tell you, this is what I love. I love that you're kind of like lazy Martha Stewart. You're like, I know what I should do with it.
Absolutely.
I know exactly.
I'm an American solo comedian. You know, so I don't have tons of time.
Right. You're like, here's what I would do. I would mix it with some red wine vinegar.
This is, and it's such a like, what's that NPR show, The Delicious Dish? No, that's the SNL version of it, but it's like.
Oh, Splendid Table?
Splendid Table. What you're going to do is you're going to take your red onion, get some vinegar. Now, you don't have to have, I like when they're like, they act like we're all like basically living in a flop house. They're like, Now, you could have any vinegar. Take some vinegar. White vinegar will work if you don't have any. You know, just take some whatever's in your cleaning solution. They're like, all right, I have vinegar.
Diluted Clorox bleach will work. Anything.
Put it out in the sun. Maybe move the syringes off the nightstand. You're like, all right, I'm fine.
It'll be okay. By the way, I will be on the Splendid Table this week. Not a lie.
Are so, you? Oh my God, that's so exciting.
Yes. And I will be giving my recipe for pickled red onions. No, I'm not giving any recipes on it, but I will be on
what
the Splendid
Table.
What are you doing? No, I wrote like a food book, so like they're interviewing me.
Oh, you're promoting the book.
I'm okay, promoting. Sweet. Undercooked.
I wish there was like a special segment that you were coming on for that you normally do where you talk about people's fridges.
It's not a bad idea.
I think you pitch it. I think you pitch it out.
By the way, I feel like there's a lot of deflecting going on from your own fridge right now. Let's get back to it.
Oh, you're right, you're right. I like doing bits. Okay, let's go.
Speaking of which, I love that you have this, you know, you have a very, like, socially conscious fridge. You've got all the good things from all the good places, the Trader Joe's. You got the Whole Foods. And then you got your fucking basic bitch Jif ass peanut butter.
It basically has like a has a Confederate flag.
Yes, it has like it's
it's like a thin blue line peanut butter. So yeah, I love Jif. I love it. Yeah. There's a certain thing where it's like I love peanut butter, and if I'm eating peanut butter, it's usually not for some sort of health reason. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If I'm gonna do health, like, oh, I'm gonna have a smoothie.
Yeah.
It's almond butter.
Yeah.
All right. It's like, it's an almond, flax is probably involved somehow.
Oh, flax is so healthy sounding. Flax.
But if it's peanut butter, like, and I'm just doing it for taste, mm-hmm. Jif is not that much more unhealthy than your Justin's.
Well, Justin's pretty unhealthy, but they try to come off like they're healthy. That's
yeah,
their
and then there's
thing.
Those, and then anytime you go, and then beyond Justin's, if you go more healthy than that, you're losing so much flavor that it doesn't really even out.
You know,
you're like compromising so much on flavor that you're like, well, I don't even want to eat this anymore.
I'm going to tell you something that's going to make you feel good about yourself and put egg on my face, because I got into a fight with a comedian buddy of mine, Brett Ernst, because we were on a podcast together. It was a food podcast, and we were having these arguments about food, and his whole thing was, I like basic B sweet peanut butter, and I was like, yeah, you're so basic, it's disgusting, you're supposed to get the just it's it was meant to be peanuts, and that alone, and the integrity of the peanut is being ruined. Mm-hmm. And we looked it up, and peanut butter was actually invented as like a sweet treat, and it was absolutely mixed with a lot of sugar. So yeah, it was never meant to be the organic stuff.
Yeah, because you're not getting that much, like, you're not getting that much nutrients. It's basically a protein situation at the, and it's not like you're getting tons of other stuff from it. So just make it taste like delicious frosting.
And then on the other side, though, where I would totally say, why are you skimping out here? On the second row, you have something I've never seen in my life.
Oh, I love this. Okay.
What the fuck is light orange juice?
Speaking of sweet treats. Yeah, it's my light orange juice.
LOJ. LOJ.
I like the, this is another basic bitch thing I like. I have a craving for orange juice every once in a while at night with ice in it. That's a thing I crave. And then my partner goes out. He buys like, I say, I want orange juice, and he buys the fancy stuff.
Mm.
And it's not the same. It's not the same. I need the, I grew up on from concentrate. Like the frozen mix.
The Minute Maid?
I grew up on. And I need the Minute Maid flavor. So this is, since we're already at Whole Foods. If I'm at Albertsons, I'll buy. But I kind of like, in your head, you're like, I feel like Albert's, I feel like if I go and I buy Tropicana, like someone's getting beaten with a shovel. Do you know what I mean? Like the way that those big corporate companies.
First of all, I love your pronunciation of Tropicana. Is so wonderfully bougie. Tropicana.
I should be shot.
Wait, so you think
I'm
that the
shot with
you think
the proletariat.
You think the work conditions at the Tropicana plantation are better than the Minute Maid plantation?
No, better than the 365 plantation. No, worse than. Worse than.
Worse than.
365 is worse. I mean better, sorry, better. And that
yes, because
slightly,
why would Amazon would never treat its workers weirdly?
I feel like, oh God, I know. And their tendrils. Are their tendrils reaching out? Yeah, of course they immediately switch to like the cheapest.
Right. Wait, but here's what's funny about this. I mean, I think that's what this says. Contains 42% juice.
Exactly. That's the flavor I want.
Quite a ratio there. So this basically, They say 50% less sugar and calories. What they mean is we dilute your orange juice with water, 50-50.
It's delicious. It's deliciously diluted. Deliciously diluted, which gives me that like frozen mix flavor that I like. It's like an orange drink.
Okay, so I think that there's actually a class, there's a classism thing happening there, here that we need to unpack.
Yeah, I think we're drilling down on that one.
Yeah, because I think growing up with orange juice, did you grow up on the East Coast or West Coast?
No, Midwest.
Midwest, okay,
Midwest,
got it.
Yeah.
So I remember I grew up in Long Island and we grew up with Minute Maid, but we went to our rich friends' homes, they would have Tropicana. And that was an aspirational orange juice.
Interesting.
And it was like, if you could get your lips on that Tropicana, it was something special was happening. So I don't know if maybe, are you making a statement?
Oh, I like the flavor.
You do.
Minute Maid mix, I think, was what we had. The little cans of Minute Maid. That's what I sort of remember. But I also sort of remember like a grocery store brand.
Right. Like Meijer? You guys had Meijer?
I don't know. Well, because like, let me think what it would have been. I grew up in Minneapolis. We were on public assistance a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would go to the easiest grocery store. Oh, actually, we'd go to the grocery store near our house, which was really cool because in the winter, we had to take a sled to the grocery store to get the groceries back.
Did you grow up in the 1920s? What is... What
Dog,
kind of,
I'm old.
What
but
kind
also,
of Great Depression shit?
No, this is the 80s, but like, fuck. It was, my mom was just very resourceful and like made everything. So like, we would take the, it was, since it was only three blocks from our house, we wouldn't drive. We would just walk and then grab the groceries on a sled on the way back. And that meant I got to ride on a sled to the grocery store. It was very...
It's very Norman Rockwell.
It's very Norman Rockwell. That was like one of the funnest things, but I don't remember the name of the goddamn store.
It's very charming.
I don't think it's there anymore.
So, you guys all wait. Well, you had you were on assistance, so you had like food stamps, which Minute Maid is a very food stampy drink. It all makes sense.
Now. Okay, so that makes sense. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. 100 p.
I'm assuming if you use your food stamps on Tropicana, there's no stamps left
you
over.
You get a red flag.
Anything.
Yeah, Bill Clinton was like, I cannot rubber stamp it. Yeah.
Hey, start from the bottom. Now you're here with your 365.
So true.
And then it seems like you've got some.
Your girl made it.
Farmer's market radishes down here.
I know. Look at those. I'm so proud. I was like, when I took this picture to send to you, I was like, oh my God. Like, it's crazy. I never have stuff like this in the fridge. Like, so it's so bountiful right now.
It is very bountiful.
And I'm just like, I'm so proud.
By the way, it does feel like you spread everything out. Like, everything here could have fit on one row.
Yeah. But... Yeah.
Okay. What do you do with radishes, by the way?
We were talking about we just bought groceries like one day ago. So we're like, usually we get like some stuff to make salad. And for whatever reason this time, Garrett, my boyfriend, was like, oh, I want to make a salad. He goes, I kind of want radishes. And I go, ooh.
Garrett.
And so he just bought them. And
Garrett stepping out of his comfort zone.
Oh my God. And you know what's going to happen is I'm going to saute the radish. Total splendid table move. I'm going to saute those radish tops and then I'm going to pickle the rest of them when we don't use them.
I'm picturing it in my fan fiction version of this. You guys are in the supermarket and you know, you're having like a little bit of a lull in your relationship. And then he says, I kind of want radishes. And
radishes.
Then you look at him and then he looks at you and then it's like, cut to you guys having sex by the fridge while you know.
We're like, still got it.
The still radishes reinvigorated something.
Yeah. If you like fresh radishes.
That was the first version of the song. Yeah, guys, we just got a big sponsorship by a pina colada brand.
We just can, honestly, syllabically, it fits way better. So, yeah.
But I just love fresh radishes. How are we going to do this, guys? Just get it.
It's not true to who I am. He like storms out.
Yeah. The fresh radishes. I actually love radishes and butter and salt because it makes me feel
same.
Like a fancy French
person. I was
going to
say that, but I was like, I don't want to be more bougie than like.
That's okay.
Just
That's
a okay. goblet of Tropicana and some radishes.
By the way, back up to your fake ass Tropicana. Next to this, is this yogurt or is this like sourdough starter?
That is ghee.
Ooh. As if we couldn't get any fancier. Although ghee isn't that fancy, but like it sounds so fancy.
Ghee is one of those like appropriated. It's appropriated, but when it's appropriated by the whites, it's fancy. If a white person has ghee in their fridge, it's like they're fancy. No white person is like, just all I can afford is ghee.
If an Indian person has ghee in their fridge, they're just Indian.
They're just normal. So ghee. Ghee is, you know, and I don't really even know what.
But this looks like non-labeled ghee. Like you're buying it from some ghee.
Yeah, why
ghee
is it in
person.
There? This is why it's gross, because it's like, I don't even know why it's in there. Like at what point I had to switch it to that. Maybe it was just like consistently melt. It probably was like in a jar that was like melting out of it all the time. And so I was just like, let's get rid of this jar because it's annoying to me and make it in a bougie care jar.
Ghee is fun. What do you do with your ghee?
It's been so long that I guess
you let it ferment in the fridge.
I think I do. And I think I used it for popcorn.
Yes, it's great on popcorn.
And there's some other thing I needed it for long, long ago. But any tips are appreciated because obviously I have this ghee.
I mean, popcorn is pretty great. What ghee is that they take butter, which is milk solids, and then just like fucking butter, and they just get the milk solids out of it, and all you have is that kind of fat part of it, and it doesn't burn, and it doesn't burn as much, so you know you can cook it at higher temperatures.
Perhaps I was using it to fry something. Does that make sense?
No, it's too, now you're just fishing. Now you're just
I am
grabbing.
I really am fishing.
What is this in the back here on the bottom row? It says KSA. Is that coffee?
That is beers.
Oh, beers.
Those are beers. KSA. You guys are... I'm realizing just now. He's got beers and I've got beers.
Are these yours? The Juicy IPA dank.
Those are mine.
Why are IPA graphics so fucking aggressive? Like someone with a skateboard is going to like beat me over the head with this beer.
Well, I tell you, because it's very male. They market them 100% towards... Rosé is marketed to women.
Right.
And IPA is marketed towards men. And we haven't really broken out of that gender binary in terms of like the alcohol marketing.
Yeah.
Drink marketing.
I'm very gender neutral when it comes to any alcohol. I mean, the funny thing is alcohol is gender neutral. Like nothing is really, I'm trying to think if there's anything that's genderized alcohol-wise.
Oh, I mean, 100%. Like beer, man. And then wine, woman. That to me seems very.
I know, but I'm wondering if there's something inherently male or female to end. Like is a shot of tequila, no, a shot of tequila is male or female. There's nothing really, that's a pretty dumb thing that has been kind of genderized. Rosé, I love a rosé. What's the difference? Rosé is white wine with a little, that's been, had the skins of the grapes in there a little longer. Why does that give me a vagina, for God's sake?
I don't know, but clinically, it does. So. But this is, I'd like you to focus in on the box here. It's dank IPA. Yeah. And then why don't you focus on that lower.
Oh, is this like a non-alcoholic IPA? It's 0.5% alcohol. Oh, it says non-alcoholic. It says non-alcoholic. I was like, is it not? Oh.
So it is delicious.
Weird. So you just like the flavor of hoppy water?
Don't like hop water. I like fake beer.
You want,
I like fake beer a lot.
Is this a, do you not drink booze or is
no,
this?
I don't partake.
Is this a good one? Because I do Dry January occasionally. And when I do, I like to research the non-alcoholic beers and most of them are god awful.
Look up Creatives IPA. That one is a favorite of my actual booze drinking boyfriend. And
first of all, Alice, we get it. You have a boyfriend, okay?
Sorry, Jesus, it's just that when you look
Christ.
At this is well,
everything
we're at,
we point to. Oh, this hot sauce. Yeah, my boyfriend
at,
got this
yeah,
hot sauce.
Yeah, we're looking at two people's stuff. It's not just I don't control the fridge like some sort of, you know, cooler tyrant.
Alice is off the market, everyone.
I really am not. You know, honestly, he's out there right now and it's this onion to me. It's like where I'm like, am I off the market? Because check out this raw dog onion.
So it's a good one. It's a good non-alcoholic.
It's really good. There's some the non-alcoholic beer technology has like skyrocketed in recent years.
The non-alcoholic beer technology has skyrocketed.
We're just we've cracked the code, man. You can some of them people like we'll bring them to I'll bring them to parties. People can't tell the difference.
Oh, you said some of them. You went to a different thought and said people can't tell the difference. I thought you were saying some of them people. Can't.
Some of them people can't even tell the difference. The real stupid ones.
Some of them people.
You know? People who are real stupid. They can't tell the difference between the regular. So, well, I was going to say I can't tell the difference, but then I'm like, I probably could because I
you feel
am a drug.
Fine the next morning. One of my favorites was like Sapporo makes.
Yeah.
Or is it Asahi or Sapporo that has zero calories, which you would think. Gross.
There's a big teetotaler like movement in Japan, I think, and there's really good versions of the beer that tastes identical.
Yeah, that's the thing. When Japanese people put their mind to it, they're going to beat everyone else at it. That's how they do.
Just casually. So I like those because used to be a light beer was only really a light non-alcoholic beer was only really good for making micheladas or whatever or shandy.
Right.
But now. It's like an enjoyable light beer.
So the thing about the Sapporo one that was interesting to me was that it's zero calories, which there's no sugar or anything in it, and there's no artificial anything in it. So it's sort of like beer-flavored LaCroix.
Yeah,
which
it
is
exactly beer-flavored LaCroix.
Pretty fun, actually.
Delish.
It's pretty
Delish.
Fun.
Yeah, delish.
Okay, well, you have a very beautiful fridge. Congratulations on the new fridge.
Thank you.
I'm not quite sure what rating I'm going to give it yet. You'll see it on the Instagram post. But
I think you missed one thing that you might freak out about.
Give it to me.
And I need to point it out to you. Zoom in dead center.
Dead center.
Do you see that?
Is that processed Parmesan dust?
Yeah.
You know, this fridge is...
I know.
It makes sense.
I know.
This is a fridge of someone who grew up of limited means and now has more means but still wants to be... Remind that you're like, you know, it's like you're still Jenny from the block, you know? You know?
Yeah.
You want to be reminded.
That's a really white way to say Jenny from the block. I'm still Rebecca from the block.
You're still Rebecca from.
I am.
Where in the Midwest are you from?
I grew up in Minneapolis.
In Minneapolis. Okay.
Like
got
South
it.
Minneapolis, which is funny because.
Soman. We call that Soman.
Minneapolis, Twin Cities in general, is a great place to grow up. There's so many activities for kids and it's great. But like most people who grew up in Minneapolis grew up in a suburb of Minneapolis because there's so many neighborhoods around South Minneapolis.
Right.
I grew up in downtown Minneapolis.
Oh, wow.
Which is really, really rare. Like nobody grows up downtown. I mean, lots of people did, but they're not usually white and they're not usually like leaving, you know, like
Right.
So I don't ever meet people ever. I've never met a single human being besides myself in the world outside of Minneapolis who grew up in South Minneapolis.
Wow.
In like the downtown South Minneapolis. I mean, South Minneapolis is big, but the downtown area.
Like next to the convention center.
The only other person I know who made it out is literally Prince.
Wow. You're in good company.
The house Purple Rain is based around where his parents lived. The house that's based on is two blocks from the house I grew up in.
Wow.
Isn't that bananas?
Like, that's pretty crazy.
It's just a weird city and a weird factoid about me that I constantly tell people.
Doesn't Minneapolis have those like tunnels between buildings because it's too
yes.
fucking cold?
The Skyway.
If that's not a sign that you need to leave that city.
It's,
that
it's so cool.
Just too
cold. But it's
cold.
Great because you can get from one building. It's like Harry Potter. You can get from one building to the other side of downtown just from these like sky bridges. It's
yeah.
Space. It's like a space station.
It's pretty cool. Well, you know, congrats on making it out. The funny thing is that you know, that's kind of like the dairy belt of America.
Yes.
And your dairy is the one thing that is still pretty basic. You got your basic ass Parmesan. You got
basic
your
Parmesan.
In here, you got some basic ass whatever taco cheese.
You can tell.
Yeah. You can tell by the way it's cut.
You know what's up.
I can tell by the way it's cut. You're not ready for the artisanal cheeses yet, which is funny because your neck of the woods has is making the best artisanal cheeses now, like in you know, Wisconsin.
True, Wisconsin. I know. I truly do. I do eat artisanal cheeses a lot. I used to work at a fancy grocery store in high school, and I was a cheese protege.
Wait, You were a CP?
Yeah, there was a person who ran. He was like the head of cheese. He bought all the different brands.
Yeah, VP
like
of cheese.
He curated, you know, the cheese counter, and it was an extremely like it was the fancy before Whole Foods moved in. It was like the fancy. It's called Lund's. It still exists, I think. It's a little more shishi than Whole Foods.
Wow.
And it's sort of like your Gelson's. And he had like a very, very, like, finely curated cheese booth.
Mm.
And I was working at the deli, and I got to talking to him. And he was like telling me all about the cheese. And I was like, this is really interesting, you know, like, because it's all the way that they grow in the caves and yada, yada, yada. So he took me under his wing, and I started just working cheese when he wasn't able to come in. And I could like advise people on, you know, oh, that's a Humboldt fog type of thing.
This is a very cute little rom-com that you had in this fake ass Whole Foods.
Yeah. Yeah. It was adorable.
Well, OK, again, props on the fridge. I can't believe we've never done this on the show, but all this fridge talk with Alice makes me think, who invented the fridge? And guess what? It was my people. The Yakhchal, an ancient Persian ice house, has a fascinating history that spans thousands of years. Originating during the Achaemenid Empire, which ruled from 400 BC to 600 BC in present-day Iran, the Yakhchal was born out of the necessity to combat the region's hot climate and preserve perishable items. Constructed with careful consideration, Yakhchals were ingeniously designed to harness natural cooling techniques. Typically made of mud, brick, or local materials, they featured thick walls with an inner core filled with a mixture of sand, clay, straw, and even animal hair. This construction provided excellent insulation, ensuring the preservation of ice and perishable goods stored within. They look kind of like a huge anthill made out of mud. I guess anthills are made out of mud. Anyway, during winter, ice was collected from nearby mountains and transported to the Yakhchal. The cooling mechanism of the Yakhchal relied on passive techniques. Heat traveling up, cool traveling down. The underground chambers and thick walls effectively shielded the stored ice from the hot climate, maintaining a constantly cool temperature inside to help store foods and stop them from spoiling. Though nobody uses Yakhchals anymore, their memory lives on, because in Farsi, the word for refrigerator is still Yakhchal. So now we're going to get into some questions that ask every guest, starting with, what is your earliest food memory?
I'm trying to remember. You know, I mean, it's probably juice. Because
juice?
My first word was juice.
Your first word was juice?
Yeah. So I was...
Way to bury the fucking lead, Alice.
I was very obsessed with apple juice. And I remember the flavor of the... Because I haven't had apple juice, like the kind that isn't like fresh pressed or whatever. Like that apple juice is burned in my mind, I think, from my first days where I transitioned from mother's milk to apple juice, which was like, I was like, this is better.
Just like it says in the Bible, you're supposed to transition from mother's milk to the Lord's.
And also it says in the Bible, juice. You can't transition any other way.
Just milk to apples.
And if you do, we hate you. Because we're a religion of love. We're like, huh, that's weird.
All right, so juice. Now, what is your death row meal? Let's think of a reason.
Death row meal.
You're on death row. Wait, we have to give you a reason that you're on death row.
Oh, okay. Sure.
You come back from work, and you see that there is yet another half of an onion naked in the fridge.
Ah.
And you say, it's time. As much as I love saying the word boyfriend, it's time for me to end this man. And you stick his head in the fridge, and you just like, you're like, honey, what is this? And he sticks his head in, and you just bash the door into his head, kill him.
Have you interviewed other people who are in relationships, and they didn't say? Because I'm sure if you live with somebody, you share a fridge. Why am I being targeted? Look back at go back to your records. Sir, and see who else has been in a relationship. They mention the wife, the husband, the boyfriend, whatever. Because I want to know. Am I being crazy? I need to know. Fans, weigh in the comments.
Fans, yeah.
Am I being extra? Am I just too proud to be in a relationship at this point? Let me know.
I mean,
because I could turn it off. I could turn off the spigot of bragging at any moment.
You know, the problem was when it was products that were clearly for you. You were like, I love this orange juice. My boyfriend, he likes beer.
he likes beer. Beer.
I love this orange juice, though. You know what else I love? My boyfriend. And this orange juice.
You love him too, to admit it to yourself. So, okay, I kill him in the fridge and I
kill
have a death
fridge.
Row meal. And you know what first popped into my head is like a really good sushi, like Jiro, like from the Jiro guy. I've never had sushi from there. But if you have like really amazing, crazy sushi, and I've had some pretty good sushis in my life before. I like that as a death row because you know how like when you're like you want something to eat that's delicious, but mm-hmm. you can't. There's certain foods that like, oh, I could go ham on some deep dish or whatever. Like,
yeah,
but my stomach, I'm about to die. There's no way that my stomach is going to like be able to settle down for a full on cheesy sub meatball situation, right? It's got to be something a little light.
You're actually prepping for the execution.
Well, yeah. I mean, in your head, you're not. Yeah, there's no way to not think about that. To me, so my stomach's going to be a little iffy, but I want something delicious.
You want to be light on your toes for the electric chair?
No, I mean, like, I don't want my stomach will not allow me to eat something big. I won't be able to enjoy. It has to be like spectacular and light. So that's what I would say.
I think
your listeners understand what I'm saying.
I like that you're taking it kind of literally. It's good.
Yeah.
In fact, I got to tell you, there was a guest who I was supposed to have on the podcast, and I gave him the questions in advance, and he saw that question. He was like a older author, like who wrote serious food books, and he was like, good sir, I disagree with the premise of this question. The number of people on death row unjustly. I was like, all right, I don't think you're meant for this podcast.
Maybe you could be like, oh, your last meal before you're summarily executed in the 1900s. But then they'll be like, oh, so I can only eat quail.
Right.
Yeah, I see the position you're in.
The last, it's your death row meal before the governor calls and gets you pardoned.
Then he'd be like, do you know how rare that is? Oh, God. Okay, yeah. Well, we're depressed now. Thanks, guy.
What's the best high-end meal you've ever had?
We went to the Blue Hill Stone Barn situation.
Wait, that's my best high-end meal.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
look at us.
Yeah.
Who did you go with, Alice?
My mom. Who
I thought you were going to say, I was setting you up for your boyfriend.
My mom, my stepdad, and one of my mom's friends who she cooks with, it was her birthday, and we went up there, the five of us, and got a table. It was not, like, we just stood in line. No. This is a, months in advance reservation.
Yeah.
Situation.
Magical place. It's magical up in place. Westchester on a farm.
Yeah.
The animals that you're eating are walking outside, just staring, tapping on
side-eye.
The glass.
Yeah, they're like, well, that was Jimmy. So, yeah.
Hope you enjoyed him as much as we enjoyed him. He was our rock. He was our rock.
What was your special adventure?
There was some room where they would preserve fucking mushrooms or some shit. I don't remember. And they gave us like a big celery root that they were like, this celery root has been in here for a decade. The flavors of it becoming more and more concentrated. And now the chef starved himself for a week so that he could concentrate.
Really?
Only on... I mean, it was like a crazy, like, it was like a celery root that was cooked in hay that was underground.
Incredible.
And all. I mean, it was probably like a celery root that was just going bad in the fridge. They were like, let's give it to these... Put some ash on this thing. Give it to these jokers.
We went to the kitchen.
Oh.
So my mom loves to cook. I'm more of a baker, but my mom loves to cook. She's a great cook. And she and her friend she cooks with, like, we went into the kitchen and they had a butcher block with place settings. So we stood and had a course in the kitchen that they served to us while we could watch what everybody was doing. Like, I cried. I literally cried because I was watching my mom see all this. And like, my mom, you know, she's worked hard her whole life. She's very, you know, doesn't get experiences like this all the time, but like, she's incredibly, she can really appreciate it in a way that I can't, you know? Mm. And it was awesome. It was just so awesome to see. And God, it was amazing. I think they were like, eat a rock. And we're like, we'll do it. Yes.
I love that.
Yeah, it was special. Wonderful.
It's a special place.
It is.
I think Dan Barber, the chef, has gotten canceled recently. So if you weren't able to go, sorry, guys.
If you weren't able to go now, you know, it's probably a lot easier to get a table and peace be with you.
It's probably half the price. What is the best low-end meal you've ever had? It can be a street taco, a hot dog, a pizza.
Ugh, I don't want to be basic and say In-N-Out, but
that's not basic. I think that's a very respectable low-end meal.
So my friends in LA have a In-N-Out-esque burger they make called Yellow Paper Burger, and it's the same price. It's like a $5 situation. Mm-hmm. Taco truck, but it's like a they have a grill. They bought this huge mobile grill and they take it and set up at bars and other places. So they'll have like social media. You can see where they're going to be. And their burger is similar to, it's like a flat burger.
It's like a smash burger.
With like the charred edges.
Smash burger, baby. That's the hot burger. It's the hot burger. People love the smash.
And it is like, it's the best of the smash burgers that I've had.
Wow.
Is their burger.
What's the name of it?
It's called Yellow Paper Burger.
Yellow Paper Burger.
Yeah.
I gotta
and
give
it comes
that
in a little
shot.
Yellow paper thing. And they're great. And they're great people. And so I always want to support them. But I also look forward to this specific burger. Just the way that the ingredients they choose to make the low-end burger is, it's working for me. It's a good ratio. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Can you tell them that we gave them free press on this podcast so that they can park outside of my house and some burgers?
I'll mention it to them. Yeah, I will. Yeah, we'll see what happens. But you should definitely go yourself and see if they'll do a free thing for you.
Yeah, I want a free. I want to save $5 and not support this small business is trying their hardest.
I love to just squeeze every dime I can out of a small business.
Who is your favorite celebrity food personality?
She's not really somebody on TV. I can just say, like, right?
Yeah.
Let me see. Who's this? What? I didn't even know her name, actually, but I watch her all the time. Food 52's TV show.
Oh.
Has this woman I love. Where the fuck? Why won't it say her name? Erin McDowell. Erin McDowell of Bake It Up a Notch.
Erin McDowell of Bake It Up a Notch. Who are you, Erin McDowell? I don't know her. Is she good?
Yeah, I love her so much. Like, I love watching her do stuff and her. She's one of the more like, she's the kind of person where baking is so precise.
Yeah.
And I really love the way that she describes baking as this, like, very relaxed thing where you're precise about only certain aspects of it that make sense to be precise about. And then the other things you don't have to worry about. It just like makes baking much more of a relaxing activity than a stressful endeavor. Because I've baked a lot in my life and it's gone from being like, yay, cookies to like, homemade fondant, you know, like
right.
Fucking psychotic. Meth head behavior. So I love watching her. It's transformed my idea of baking. Erin McDowell.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I do think that, I mean, I feel like the bakers and the pastry people make it as if it's like everything has to be so precise and they kind of don't rely as much on what it feels like
intuitive,
and what it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think there is room for intuitiveness.
So much room for intuitiveness. And it's, to me, the way that makes sense to me to bake. And, one of my favorite things about baking, actually, is that with cooking, it's like you're on the clock. You know, not much in specifically when you're heating foods, there's a clock And you have to be really precise about that. And it's a shorter period of time that you have to be precise in. Whereas baking, it's kind of spread out. You know, it's actually, to me, less precise than cooking. And so the way Aaron talks about it is like it's very, you know, I just throw that in there and you'll be able to, the way she describes the doughs and stuff like that, you'll be able to see because it looks like.
I like it.
Yeah, a little.
All right, I'm going to check her out. Maybe we'll have her on the show.
I would tune the hell in for that.
And then you got to start your own pastry show called Room for Intuitiveness.
Room for Room. Maybe just room. Is that something that's, already that's kind of.
I don't know that that's going to be descriptive enough.
No, but it's about. You're never allowed to leave.
Oh my God. We're going off the rails. What is your desert island food? You're trapped on a desert island. One food. You're going to eat it for the rest of your life. You will never get tired of it.
I mean, like coconuts, right?
No, it doesn't have to be literally a desert island. Like,
but there's
you're
a
like,
reason...
it's either coconuts or lizards, right?
Okay, but there's a reason coconuts are there. Because it's the right thing to have for that climate, right? Like, you can do so much with the fucking meat, and the water is so hydrating. This is what I'm just going, if you can only eat. So do I, just a food? I can't say a meal.
You can bring it, it's just a food. It could be a meal. You can bring it with you, but you're never going to get tired of this meal.
There's nothing I could eat that I wouldn't get tired of. Maybe Reese's Pieces.
There you go. Found it.
Honestly, Reese's Pieces, I don't imagine I'd ever get tired of those.
Wait, the Reese's Pieces, like the M&M-y Reese's Pieces, or like the actual peanut butter cups?
The pieces.
The pieces.
The pieces. Final answer.
Okay. I love how you were like, my palate needs to be constantly stimulated. I would never find that one. Reese's Pieces. Give it to me.
There's no way that I could even set Reese's Pieces now. I mean, I'm sure I would get tired of everything eventually, but... I mean,
don't get so existential on this, Jean-Paul Sartre. You're like, everything is meaningless on the desert island. What's the point?
Why? I hope that there's coconuts too, though.
Yes, fine. You can supplement your fucking Reese's with coconuts.
Yay!
Is there a food you can't stand eating?
I don't eat pork. Oh, I don't like eating any kind of squid or octopus.
Ah,
I
interesting.
Do not like. Like one
don't
time,
they have a name like encephalopods?
Yeah, because when we found out that they're like smarter than us or whatever, that definitely got to me. And
Crime
also, I don't like the texture anyway at all.
Okay,
it very much is not something that my mouth enjoys. And then also, one time I was at like a Thai place, and there was like somebody ordered calamari, and it was like somebody said that these are just pig intestines. When they're like big like this. And I was like, I did this bit where I was like, pig intestines. And then I like grabbed them and started eating them. So, but to me, I don't really jam on that. It's not my faves.
You know, it's funny. When I saw that documentary that showed how smart the octopi were, it made me want to eat them more.
Oh, really? Because then you would absorb their essence.
No, not even. I just thought... As the apex predator, it's important for me to keep my subjects in line.
To me, it's funny. It would be funny to do a podcast like there's like my octopus teacher, but it's like my octopus neighbor, and he's just like he's like a normal octopus, and he's just kind of a bro, and he's like, "Hey, stop eating me. Come on."
Hey.
My octopus neighbor always cranking the tunes late at night.
Yeah, cuz like, you know, it's like with humans, not all humans are smart. So not all octopi are intelligent.
Let's not generalize, all right?
No. What about if you could make sure that the octopus you were eating was a dumb octopus, would you
a racist octopus?
Yeah, would you be, if you could find out that this octopus only hangs out with the other purple octopuses?
I'd still rather have another thing. I'd still rather have a mushroom.
What if the mushroom was like a super woke, nice mushroom?
That's the problem with mushrooms, is they go woke, they go broke.
Okay, time for my favorite question. What is or are your restaurant pet peeves?
Me? I'm a pet peeve of mine in a restaurant because I interact.
You? Hi, you're the problem.
Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. Like, the way I interact with waiters and waitstaff is like a real problem. Like, I try to do bits, but I'm also very aware of the fact that this person is at work. And so I don't fully commit enough. Like, I'm not like the guy at the table who's like holding court enough with that energy. So the person's always a little confused and it just slides into uncertainty so quickly. So I that's one issue. I got to worry about that when I'm out to eat.
Hold on. Okay. Give me an example. Let's do a little role play here. I am the server.
Yeah.
And you are Alice.
Yeah.
Hi. Welcome to TGI Fridays. Can I start you on some jalapeno poppers?
We already ate.
Oh, okay. We're playing that game. Why are you here then?
I'm just kidding. Sorry. Don't worry about it. No. Just tell me. Say what you're going to say.
Okay. Well, what is that face you're making?
That I'm making this face. Deep cringe at myself. Yeah.
Okay,
so that's
it.
The issue that I have. Oof. What else? I don't like, I guess like personally to me, I don't like no salt on the table.
I get that. There is a presumptuousness with the no salt on the table that's like,
you don't need it.
Trust me, it's perfectly balanced.
I just like, let me get some salt on the table. And then sometimes places will have salt on the table and it's like in this little adorable bowl with the spoon. And you're like, yeah.
You're like, yeah. You know that's getting stolen.
I get that they don't want to like clutter up the table. So I understand that, but I just don't personally like it. I like places that bring bread. You know, I like that extra shit.
You like some rolls for the table.
Rolls for the table. I have a lot of restaurant pet peeves, I realize. The last thing I'll say is when it's the no acoustic dampening.
Yes. Way too loud, yeah. Way too cacophonous.
One time I went to this dinner, I was on People of Earth, and they went to this dinner. It was like a cast dinner, and it was like in a Richard Serra sculpture, the room we were in. There was like a steel, like a steel sculpture all around the room that was like, you know, 20 feet big, like 15 feet high. And it was just this perfect auditory amplification system for every whisper, everything. Your ears were bleeding. And so at one point, Anna Gasteyer was like, okay, everybody shut up. We're going to go around the table and each person is going to speak individually and we're going to listen and then move on to the next person.
Oh my God.
It was literally what we had to do to be able to not go insane in this room. It was so fucked up. But it was, you know, Anna Gasteyer, Oscar Nunez, funny people, so it's fine. Brian Husky.
Now you're just giving credits of the show People of Earth.
Yeah. The show that I was on, which is great.
Your boyfriend would drop you off. He would drop you off on set.
He would drop me off on set in Toronto. So you have to drive all the way out there every time. But I said, hey, it's worth it. I'm worth it.
You are worth it. Alice, this was so pleasant. It's always nice to meet someone who has fun opinions about food.
Thank you. I agree with you. I'm going to go pickle some onions right now.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
I want a picture of you, of the pickled onions.
That's
we'll
exactly
post that
what
as
you're
well,
gonna get.
If you actually do it.
That's exactly what you're going to get.
Alice, tell the people where they can find you.
Patreon.com/AliceWetterland. And we're doing guests. We're looking for new subscribers. We're looking for new subscribers. We're currently searching, and Alice Wetterland on all the other places like TikTok and Twitter and what is it? Instagram is one of them, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Meta. Yeah, Meta.
I'm not really on Meta. No, I haven't. Unless I need to sell something.
You're amazing.
Thank
Everyone,
you.
Go follow Alice. She's a fantastic American solo comedian.
American solo.
One of the best American solo comedians.
It does ASCs. Sound like I'm a Russian spy. A little bit. Like, American solo comedian, normal thing. No, don't worry, not from Russia.
Yeah, it was really weird that she called herself an American solo comedian.
Don't think about it. Don't worry. Just come to show. Have nice. Okay, goodbye. All right. Thanks for having me, Dan.
Thank you, Alice.